took a special company to convince me to do an ad for clothing, and that company is Quince. Imagine buying fewer, better pieces you love to wear all the time instead of an infinite scroll of crap. The best piece I got so far is a navy blue button-down shirt, the organic cotton stretch textured twill shirt, and it replaces like six others that got stolen from the laundromat last month. Feels different, fits different, and washes great. No crunchy crease in the elbows or itchy seams at the wrist, just soft structure, refined, casual details, no strings dangling. You'll see it in my next monologue. So buy less, buy better, look great. Win jobs, meet lovers, organically, ethically, and at reasonable prices with Quince. Have a closet of keepers, not landfill. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/teamhuman. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/teamhuman. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I was just helping a friend who was looking for a psychotherapist. I have a psychologist friend who I trust, but she's become more of an author and media celebrity. So she gave me a list of therapists she trusts. And at the top of her list, I kid you not, is BetterHelp.com. And it's not just her. Check out the reviews at BetterHelp.com/reviews. There's 1.7 million of them, with an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5. That's because these aren't random online therapists, but vetted ones with at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of experience and certifications across a wide range of specialties. It's easy to get started. Just go to BetterHelp.com, answer a few questions, and get matched with a therapist based on your needs. Switch whenever you like if it's not the right fit. So see the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
With no fees or minimums on checking accounts, it's no wonder the Capital One Bank guy is so passionate about banking with Capital One. If he were here, he wouldn't just tell you about no fees or minimums. He'd also talk about how most Capital One cafes are open 7 days a week to assist with your banking needs. Yep, even on weekends, it's pretty much all he talks about. In a good way. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, this is Zibby Owens, host of Totally Booked with Zibby, formerly Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. In my daily show, I interview today's latest, best-selling, buzziest, or underrated authors and story creators whose work I think is worth your time. As a bookstore owner, publisher, author, and obviously podcaster, I get a comprehensive look at everything that's coming out and spend my time curating the best books so you don't have to. Stay in the know, get insider insights, and connect with guests like Grammy Award-winning singer Alicia Keys, critically acclaimed author Judy Blume, and Academy Award-winning screenwriter John Irving every single day. With Totally Booked, you aren't just listening, you're part of the story. So don't miss out. Follow Totally Booked with Zibby on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You're on Team Human, Conscious Intervention in the Machine. An opportunity to take stock of our collective situation and explore the opportunities created by every seeming challenge. We can flip the script once we know how it's being written. I'm Douglas Rushkoff, and I'm on Team Human. I don't usually use this space for politics, not really since I began worrying about the lure of Obama in 2007 and how his branding may have been more powerful than his commitment to the issues I cared about. I guess back then I started to see Occupy Wall Street and direct action and bottom-up mutual aid as more accessible avenues for Team Human to participate in our collective welfare than any kind of political commentary or conversation. But given the season, as well as the intensity or immensity of what may be coming to pass in the next year, I thought I'd share some perspective, at least my perspective on world events, as well as what those of us invested in a future of human flourishing may be able to do about any of it. There's a lot of statements and seemingly random chaos coming out of the new administration, even before they take office. But as I see it, it all makes sense from their point of view. You can read Project 2025 to understand the means by which they take power, but even that document doesn't convey the philosophy of life here. And as I've been sharing occasionally when I'm interviewed or in the Q&A portion of a talk or even with some of my guests here on Team Human, my understanding of Donald Trump's worldview is that he sees himself as a mafia don. And I don't mean any personal involvement with organized crime over his decades as a real estate magnate in New York. I mean an understanding of the world as a set of neighborhoods or territories controlled by bosses like himself. So just like The Sopranos, where one family controls Lower Manhattan, another one gets Harlem, and Tony gets New Jersey between the bridge and the tunnel, in the global syndicate, as seen in Trump world, Russia controls Europe, or Eurasia, really, except maybe for England. Brexit doesn't sound so dumb now. And China gets Southeast Asia, the Pacific, and most of Africa, while America gets North and South America, Canada, Greenland. And this is why Trump doesn't really object to Russia claiming a portion or even all of Ukraine. That's Russia's neighborhood and Putin's prerogative. I imagine neither he nor Putin would object too strongly to China taking Taiwan either, which is another reason America's tech sector welcomes some alternative chip manufacturing plants in the U.S. Or smaller gangs like those running Iran and the Israel-Saudi alignment to divvy up the Middle East. That's what the Abraham Peace Accords were really about, creating a smaller family that would stand up against Iran in that region. But that's another story. The individual political alignments, they're confusing and a bit beside the point for what I'm suggesting here, which is more a lens to understand the bits of strange or even absurd news that are coming through the various networks these days and will likely continue to for a while. Like this week, Trump said the U.S. is paying too much for its access to the Panama Canal, and unless things got better, the U.S. should just take it back. I mean, it was actually ceded from U.S. control to Panama in 1999, but again, a whole big story. The president of Panama replied that the sovereignty of his country is not negotiable. So Trump replied on Truth Social by posting, "We'll see about that," and an American flag flying over the waterway with the caption, "Welcome to the United States Canal." Also, this past weekend, Trump threatened to seize Greenland, explaining, this is a quote, "For purposes of national security and freedom throughout the world, the United States of America feels that the ownership and control of Greenland is an absolute necessity," unquote. And he also declared that Canada should be the 51st U.S. state and referred to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau as governor. And no, it's not just joking, right? Whether or not Trump actually purchases, annexes, or invades Panama, Greenland, or Canada is beside the point. He's making his claim for the benefit of the other big families, Russia and China, on what he sees as American economic and territorial control, the family's territory. Trade routes through Panama, resource routes to the Arctic Circle, and a nice big island filled with minerals or even farmland once climate change melts the permafrost over Greenland. And Greenland actually has the right to declare its independence from Denmark anytime it wants. I'm sure its 57,000 citizens' social media feeds are already filled with propaganda for why they should become a U.S. state. From the inside, though, meaning the inside of Trump's head and those of some of his closest allies, this isn't some evil dictatorship, but a family style of government. Movies like The Godfather, for all their violence, also portrayed Don Corleone as a leader who loved his family above all, commanded loyalty from his soldiers and subordinates, and enjoyed the love and respect of his neighborhood. He did favors and earned loyalty. Within the boundaries defined by one's territory, life was good and traditional values were honored. But in that world of might makes right, the Godfather's really only needed when there's no law or institutions to protect people. You don't need to hire protection unless there's gangs and criminals from whom you need protection. So a violent, scary world out there is required. You can't be a mafia boss without other enemy mafia bosses, or at least enemies within, immigrants, foreigners, to be constantly rooted out. This is why, in the absence of a credible global threat, Trump promises protection from Mexican gangs and transgender athletes, whether or not they pose any real danger. I'm not saying everything will actually function like this. Given Trump's inability to pressure Congress to vote for his elimination of the debt limit last week, it looks like he's going to have a lot less absolute power than many feared. But it does suggest a very different global configuration, one where America exploits and protects its region while abandoning its ideological protectorate over the globe. Now, what do Musk and the tech bros have to do with all this? Why are they so interested in government? Well, you have to understand, they mean to live and influence a completely different plane altogether. Peter Thiel's book From Zero to One explains the philosophy from a business and Catholic perspective. You, me, Trump, Putin, and all us humans live here on the ground, competing for stuff and physical territory. The smart tech bro, just like a fully transformed Catholic, rises above that and competes one level up, one order of magnitude above these material conflicts. On the internet, that was called aggregation. A bunch of dot-com businesses are competing with each other on the web, so the smart developers level up and create websites like Amazon and Facebook or PayPal that aggregate the other businesses who create storefronts on the platform. On a bigger level, the one I wrote about in Survival of the Richest, leveling up means being one of the humans who rises above this level of reality altogether and pioneers the post-human future. For Musk and his ilk, that could mean making enough modifications to the human organism to allow some post-human entities to migrate to a Mars dome and start over there. Or it could mean developing mind clones that let human consciousness live on chips aboard satellites and crafts that venture through space or maybe even seed other planets. The sky isn't even the limit. No, the limit is time. For the post-humanist or effective altruist, the object of the game is to get a space program or other post-human project up and running before the planet's resources burn out. The planet is just the fuel for the next stage, like the first stage of a rocket that is discarded once the fuel is spent. And of course, we get left behind too. In this view, we, Version 1.0 humans are in the larval stage, like maggots living on a piece of dung. The ones who sprout wings and become flies are the only ones who matter, because they get off this dung heap and spawn new civilizations elsewhere. The tech bros and the people who are lucky enough to get their post-human upgrades are those flies. They're in a race to use their money and tech to evolve and get off this dying planet, even if it means accelerating that destruction. You don't have to look at this as evil, at least not for the moment. Musk means it when he says he cares more than anyone about the human future. It's just that his definition of human may be different than yours or mine. He wants to bring what is essentially human or human data to the next place before this one's used up. That's why it's so important they get involved in government and direct it toward building nuclear power plants that can generate enough energy for their AI systems, seizing territories with rare earth metals and the water necessary to build and run the servers, and deregulating the data harvesting required for all the machine learning. When Musk pushes Trump to crash a budget negotiation and demand an end to debt ceilings, it's not just so that it will be easier for him to ask for continued tens of billions of dollars of government subsidies of his Tesla sales. It's so that government can spend now on the territorial expansion and resource extraction required to build whatever it is that's going to get Musk off the planet into another dimension before the shit hits the fan and this place becomes uninhabitable. So when people sense Musk is operating Trump from above like a marionette, I think that's less because he's doing so functionally in government than dimensionally. The game he's playing is a level up, even if that level's fantasy. I meant for this to be a happy holiday message, so let me follow that annual sense-making tour of the geopolitical landscape under Trump with this. If the people running that show are obsessed with the image on TV, like Trump, or the consciousness of the cloud, Musk, then they have ceded much of the actual territory for human existence and flourishing back to us. Yes, global shipping and trade depends on things like who controls the Panama Canal. And AI developers may want whatever's sitting under Greenland's permafrost. But I'm not sure how closely these would-be feudalists' dreams of power actually match up with their abilities. Sure, Trump can win the presidency, but actually marshaling the support he needs from others in government to run a global protection racket while also running a tech bro agenda he doesn't even understand? This may actually be a when the cat's away, the mice will play moment for both the counterculture and the bottom-up, locally brewed solutions we need to build resilience over the long run. If they're focused on positioning themselves for climate disaster, boxing out a billion refugees, and accelerating towards space migration, we can focus on land management, local land trusts, agrarian networks, mutual aid, and all those other activities that make us more resilient and less dependent on our mob bosses. The part I'm not so sure about is how to stem the massive energy expenditure and unfettered extraction of resources required for AI development and exponential economic growth. Some of Trump's early advisors, though, like Steve Bannon, were highly critical of domination by the tech industry. Bannon even read long portions of my book Team Human aloud on his podcast. So maybe Trump will tire of Musk or respond to Democrats' trolling ridicule about Musk being in charge or come to the conclusion that he's being played. I'm not sure there's really room for two trolls in chief. But in the meantime, one of the best things we can do to minimize the power of the mob boss is not to be afraid. Sure, someone gets killed on the subway, by an immigrant, no less, and it will be publicized and amplified way beyond its proportional significance. And that's by design. to keep us in a state of fear where we don't trust each other and need the protection rackets to feel safe. The easiest first step we can take is to build trust. Rather than winning the favor of our feudal lords, we learn to do favors for one another. Our friendship, our trust, our mutual aid, our attention to our local realities is kryptonite to these would-be Ubermen. It's the home planet, the Earth, where we and they are actually from and where someday even they will all return. Happy solstice and every associated holiday from Team Human. Team Human is produced by Joshua Chapdelin and edited by Luke Robert Mason. I'm Douglas Rushkoff, and you've been on Team Human, our last best hope for peeps. See you next year.
With no fees or minimums on checking accounts, it's no wonder the Capital One Bank guy is so passionate about banking with Capital One. If he were here, he wouldn't just tell you about no fees or minimums. He'd also talk about how most Capital One cafes are open 7 days a week to assist with your banking needs. Yep, even on weekends, it's pretty much all he talks about. In a good way. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Michael Gargiulo stalked and slaughtered his female neighbors in LA in the 2000s until one survived.
She painted a picture that you could never imagine.
In a first on Mind of a Monster, we dive into a case that's still active. Did Michael's murderous rampage start in the 1990s when he was just 17?
His impulsivity and his rage was starting to peak around that age.
Listen to Mind of a Monster, The Hollywood Ripper, wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.